reporting on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Yesterday, there was the fifth commission hearing, the January 6th commission hearing, the fifth one televised during the day. Started at 2 p.m. Wisconsin time, 2 p.m. Wisconsin time. So a few hours, they're shifting them around a little bit to accommodate as many people as possible with different schedules during the day and the evening. And I'll tell you what, it was perhaps the most consequential, legally consequential, of all of the hearings. I'm going to give you a broad overview, and then we're going to dig a little bit into the weeds, some of the revelations that came out and what I think the consequences are going to be. The three principal witnesses were Jeffrey Rosen, who had been acting attorney general after Crooked William Barr stepped down in the middle of December 2020. Everybody says now, oh, well, Crooked William Barr has got to be a saint. He wouldn't go along with the coup. That's ridiculous. Barr chickened out at the end. He was smart enough to realize that this thing was a disaster in the making and he'd be dragged with it. Right up till then, he was pro-Trump all the way. He lied about the Ukraine impeachment. He lied about anything that had to do with Donald Trump that would hurt Donald Trump. He's the one that ordered attorneys general after the 2020 election, the U.S. attorney's offices around the country to preemptively start fraud investigations. That is a no-no. That is against the protocols of the attorney general's office. You don't have U.S. attorneys, for instance, in Milwaukee, in Madison, in Chicago, in Denver, just going out launching investigations. There has to be a credible complaint or evidence to them. So he went along with all of it. But he is a crafty dog. It's like a mudfish, bottom of the river, never been caught. And the reason he hasn't been caught is he isn't stupid enough to snap at every piece of bait that comes dangling in front of him. He chickened out is what he did. There's no ethics to it whatsoever. In any event, we need an attorney general, as the United States obviously needs an attorney general, even for the last days of the Trump administration. So Trump elevated Jeffrey Rosen to be acting attorney general for about a month. It would have been for about a month, from around December 16 to around January 20, when Biden was sworn in. Then he elevated Richard Donahue, who is a lifer in the office, to be the acting deputy attorney general. And a guy named Steve Engel was one of the top people there too. And he was legal counsel to the attorney general, supervised ethics and procedures in the office. Those three gentlemen were the witnesses yesterday: Jeffrey Rosen, Richard Donahue, and Steve Engel. And we also saw some footage, not live testimony, from a lawyer named Eric Hirschman, who is one of the White House lawyers for Trump. Here's an overview of what happened. It became crystal clear as a result of that hearing yesterday. We knew a lot of this already. There's some of it we did not know. Trump had a variety of different strategies to overturn the election. The main strategy was to get various legislatures like Wisconsin's, that are gerrymandered and under the exclusive control of the Republicans, to simply throw out the presidential election results in their state and then just appoint electors for Trump. And he had favorable legislators in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. And that would have given it to him. However, there has to be something to start the process. So they cooked up the idea when I say they, it goes back to this Professor John Eastman. You've heard his name. Professor Eastman was a law clerk to Clarence Thomas. Then he went on to become a law professor. And he thinks he's an egghead. He thinks he's an intellectual. So he cooked up this idea, and he drafted a letter along with Rudy Giuliani that they wanted the Justice Department to send to the legislatures in those six states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Nevada. And it would say something along these lines. And they read it. They read it on the air. It says, quote, "We," meaning the Justice Department, meaning the Attorney General, "have identified significant concerns about the upcoming elections, specific concerns about the impact in the elections, not upcoming, it was after the elections. We recommend that you return this to your legislators to evaluate whether they want to approve new electors." Now, if that had come signed by the Attorney General of the United States and the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, there are a lot of legislators who would have sort of shrugged and said, well, far be it from us to question that. Okay. And then others who knew what was going on, but they wanted cover, they would have, Voss would have convened the Wisconsin legislature. They would have appointed 10 Trump electors. And in the letter, it said that there were Trump electors duly filed with the Senate and with the National Archives. Now, you can say, well, what good would that have done? Well, I'll tell you what. That would have had to go up through the courts. It takes a while to go up through the courts. And even if it went right to the Supreme Court at 6-3 Republican, the whole historical precedent was 1876 and 1878. What do I mean by that? In 1876, Ulysses Grant had finished his second term as president, didn't run again. And a guy named Rutherford Hayes ran for the Republicans, and a guy named Sam Tilden ran for the Democrats. Now, remember, that was right after the Civil War. Tempers were still very hot. Rutherford Hayes was a combat veteran of the Civil War. He was well-regarded. He was a colonel at the Battle of Antietam, one of the most savage battles in the Civil War. Little-known fact that I'll throw in is his sergeant, his main sergeant, whom he commanded, Sergeant William McKinley, future president of the United States. There were two presidents in that battle on behalf of the Union. There was no way that the North was going to let a Southern Democrat become president. Rutherford Hayes lost the election. States put in alternate slates of electors. There was a fight. And the North and the South made a devil's pact. And they said, all right, we will permit Rutherford Hayes to be president, even though he lost with these fake electors. But you have to take federal troops out of the South, get rid of Reconstruction, let us do whatever we want to black people in the South. And that bluntly is what happened. There was a devil's pact. And for 100 years, 1876 was the election. The pact occurred in 1877, implemented around 1878. And for almost 100 years, black people were murdered in the South. They were lynched. By that, I mean until John F. Kennedy became president. And then Lyndon Johnson, the Civil Rights Act, and slowly things changed. That was the devil's pact. And what Trump was trying to do is revive a different devil's pact, which is just copy what Rutherford Hayes did, and just go, okay, well, if he did it, I can do it. Remember, Jeffrey Rosen became acting attorney general after Barr stepped down on roughly December 15 or 16. And for the next 10 days, and I'm not kidding, all the way through Christmas, including Christmas Eve, and New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day, and New Year's weekend, Trump was either in person or on the phone with Jeffrey Rosen, badgering him about signing this letter. And Rosen wouldn't do it. And Trump would put up all these arguments. He'd put up, well, there was a voting machine in Antrim County, Michigan, Rosen testified to, and Donahue testified to. And it had, was 68% inaccurate. And Rosen said, we've investigated that, Mr. President. It was not 68% inaccurate. In all of the many thousands of votes there, there was one vote off. Okay, well, what about the satellites in Italy? We have good information by a guy. Unfortunately, he's under arrest in Italy for fraud, but that's something different, who says that the Italians invented a satellite that could switch Biden votes to Trump votes to Biden votes. And they looked at Trump and they said, are you out of your mind? He said, I want you to meet with this guy. But he's in jail in Italy for fraud. Well, we'll find a way. So this is the kind of thing that happened all through the Christmas season, all through New Year's. New Year's Eve, there was a meeting late. There was a meeting on New Year's Day. There's a meeting that weekend. A lot more to talk about this. This is a very, very important, very, very important commission hearing. And much of it is hard to believe. We knew some of it, didn't know it in all this context. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Finger.
Methvin Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let me tell you a little more about that commission hearing. A little more about that commission hearing. There was a meeting over the weekend, New Year's weekend. New Year's is a Friday, January 1, that Sunday. And in the interim, in the middle of January, somebody sort of airlifted in a lawyer named Klukowski. He was a good lawyer, but in an evil purpose. And what he did was he was following the Eastman playbook, and he was helping to quarterback Trump's strategy to have somebody in the attorney general's office sign a fake letter saying there was fraud and encouraging the legislatures to go back and reallocate electors. So on January 3rd, Trump demands a meeting. They all get together over that weekend. And Rosen is there. Donahue is there. Engel is there. A couple of other people there. And Trump goes, are you going to sign this thing? Rosen goes, no, sir. He said, why shouldn't I get rid of you? He said, and there's a new guy there named Jeffrey Clark. Why shouldn't I appoint him? Jeffrey Clark was an environmental lawyer, no criminal experience, never tried a criminal case. And but he had piped up. And Scott Perry, the guy, the congressman who's asked for pardon, by the way, from Pennsylvania, had dug him out, recommended him to Trump. Klukowski was working with him. So was Eastman. And he said, Clark here, Jeffrey Clark, will be the acting AG. And he will sign the letter. And in the meantime, two things saved the country. One thing was that Donahue and Rosen had called all the other assistant attorney generals. The structure is there is an attorney general, a deputy, and five assistants, and they're very powerful people. Every one of them said, if this goes down and they make Jeffrey Clark the new AG, we're quitting. So Donahue said, Mr. President, with all respect, this guy Clark, and he points to him, is not competent. He's not competent to do anything in the attorney general's office, much less be the attorney general. If you appoint him attorney general to write this fake letter, I will quit. Mr. Rosen will quit. Mr. Engel will quit. And all five of the assistants will quit. And then they go on and they say, and we have U.S. attorneys in every city in this country, hundreds of them. And many of them will quit. And this guy, pointing to Clark, will be the head of a graveyard. And Clark suddenly pipes up. He said, no, I've tried a lot of environmental cases. Donahue says, well, if there's an oil spill, we'll call you. There's an oil spill, we'll call you. That Trump sat back. I do not personally believe, having seen the evidence, that that's what dissuaded him. I think what dissuaded him was Steve Engel, something he said. And this is very, very good. He said, Mr. President, let me just say something. I've been in your Justice Department for a lot of years. I've supported you up till now. But not only is this wrong, but if you do this, it's not going to work. Because Trump had said, what do I have to lose? He said, I'll tell you what you have to lose. Everybody's going to look around and say you had your third attorney general in 2 weeks. Third attorney general in 2 weeks. Everybody in the office quits, and you have the environmental guy pull an end run like this. Even the Supreme Court can't go along with that. It's too phony. It's too fake. It's too crooked, in fact, and crooked looking. You have a lot to lose because it won't work. And I am convinced that that's what did it. I am convinced that that argument, Trump doesn't care. He's a sociopath. He does not care if it's wrong or that it's risky or that it's risky. He doesn't care any about that, anything about that. What he did care about is that it would backfire and backfire against him, and it would be even more criminal activity than he'd already engaged in. And to take an environmental guy, inexperienced, jam him in as a third attorney general in a couple of weeks was too much, too much. However, in the White House logs, Clark had already been designated. He'd already been designated as the acting attorney general. Already been designated as the acting attorney general. The day of the hearing, the FBI conducted a raid on Jeffrey Clark's house in Virginia. It's pre-dawn. The reason they have pre-dawn raids is to save lives of officers. No one really thought Jeffrey Clark would pull a weapon, but in a lot of places, officers have been killed executing search warrants. And you go in pre-dawn, guy's rubbing his eyes, drag him out in his pajamas and put him on the lawn, and went through and took his electronic devices. He is the subject of a criminal investigation right now. He's the subject of a criminal investigation. And you know something? The whole purpose of all of this, the whole purpose of all of this was to give the appearance of legitimacy, the appearance of authenticity to a fraud. To a fraud. A lot more to talk about this. The lines are filling up. Dan of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dan?
Good morning, Matt. I think it's super important that we, learn what happened and then actually take this information and figure out how to prevent it. And obviously one way to prevent it would be to hopefully bar Trump from ever being allowed to run again. But if you'll indulge me, I'd like to explore another thing that maybe would help with restoring some of the checks and balances that broke.
Yeah. All right.
Well, in the state of Wisconsin, we elect our attorney general. Is there anything in the Constitution that says that that cannot be an elected position? I mean, how is it set up in the Constitution? Obviously, it's part of the executive, but I mean, I know it's a cabinet position, right? Right. Would that require a constitutional amendment, or would that be something that could be passed by law?
It require a constitutional amendment, but beyond that, Dan, and I'll just say this. I do not think that's a good idea, and I'll tell you why. You could easily have a president elected, say a Democratic president, but a law and order thumper, Republican, get in as attorney general and subvert the president for 4 years. The attorney general, you have to trust a president who's elected, and unfortunately we couldn't trust Trump, to appoint somebody with integrity, like Biden did with Merrick Garland. Whether you agree with Merrick Garland or not, whether you think he's aggressive or not, he's honest. And Bobby Kennedy was attorney general. Some of the great figures in American history have been attorney general. I'll tell you what, if you elected attorney general, you could easily end up with a Biden-type president and a Ron DeSantis-type attorney general, and there would be nothing but sniping against the president. The downside is you get a Republican president. He's going to have a Republican attorney general, but many of them were honest. It was just this time around. And even Jeff Sessions finally had enough and stepped down. Rosen is honest. You had Trump at the end, desperate, trying to squeeze people in. I'll tell you what he did. He offered it, you're not going to believe this, to Sidney Powell. When Clark didn't look like he was going anywhere, Sidney Powell, she was a conspiracy lawyer who was disciplined by courts for lying in court. That's what he did. And the problem there is Trump. The problem there is not electing the attorney general, is electing Trump. And Dan and Madison is exactly right. We can't have him in again. We cannot have him in again. The whole purpose of this was to give the illusion of authenticity. The whole purpose was the illusion of legitimacy and tie it up in court so Trump and Pence would stay in for months or years. And then they go, oh, well, let them stay another year and a half and then we'll have another election. That cannot be permitted to happen again. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A couple of other points to make on that January 6th commission hearing yesterday. And by the way, there are going to be at least two more. They're going to be delayed by more than 2 weeks. They're going on, Congress is going on a 4th of July recess where they get to campaign some, they come back. There's some new video they just was turned over to them by a British videographer who was given access to the Trump White House, including all his kids, including Trump and others close to him, just before and after, and just after January 6th. You're going to see some really live, in-person, and at the time, candid reactions, and that's going to be used as well. Here are a couple of other final points to make about the hearing that occurred yesterday. Trump had a lot of tricks up his sleeve. He had John Eastman draft a lawsuit. And in the caption, they put United States, in other words, the U.S. government would be the plaintiff, against Biden and against various states where Biden won the electoral votes. And the idea would be to have the Supreme Court overturn the election. And he asked Rosen and the rest of them to take it and file it. Just sort of retype it. Don't change anything. File it and argue it. That is fraudulent. The Justice Department does not have outside lawyers draft anything for them just to be sort of the mules to go into court and file it and argue it for them. So that got turned down. That got turned down. He asked Crooked William Barr, Trump did, to appoint a special counsel. And he was thinking of somebody like Sidney Powell or Jeffrey Clark or somebody of that nature who would just go after this issue outside of the attorney general's office, but with the imprimatur of the attorney general, because it would have been appointed by the attorney general. Barr, if Barr had thought they could get away with it, he would have done it in a heartbeat. Barr has absolutely no dedication to the Constitution, but Barr is a wily bottom feeder. And he's never been caught, and he wasn't going to get caught this time, and he realized that Trump was desperate, and like a rat, he jumped off a sinking ship. The committee subpoenaed Jeffrey Clark. Jeffrey Clark, the guy that was going to go along with anything. Now, Clark was smart in this respect. Some people like Bannon and Navarro didn't show up, and then they get indicted for contempt of Congress. And you can go to jail for 2 years for that. So Clark showed up and he took the Fifth Amendment, something like 125 times. They showed some of it. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Okay, what's your name? Jeffrey Clark. Okay, were you at a meeting? I take the Fifth Amendment. Did you do this? I take the Fifth Amendment. To virtually every question, maybe every question for a big chunk of it. By doing that, couple of things happen. First of all, you avoid a contempt felony charge. You don't go to jail. But you're on video taking the fifth 125 times. You look like a mafia boss. You look like a drug dealer. In any civil case, that can be shown. If they went after him civilly for any reason, guy that takes the fifth 125 times, jury's told by the judge, you can infer from that that this guy did it. You can't do that in a criminal case. That's a no-no. And I think that Clark is very much afraid of criminal prosecution, justifiably, because the FBI was at his home the other day in the early morning hours, hustled him out in his pajamas on the lawn, searched his house, and came away with his electronic gear. So there you have it. And that was not Trump's only sneaky trick up his sleeve. That was the legal trick. The other trick was ginning up the January 6th mob, telling them he'd be up there with them. They have to take back their country. There was fraud. In that speech that you've seen on January 6th in the park, just before they all walked up to, not all, Trump didn't, but the rest of them marched up to the Capitol. The insurrectionists broke windows and went in and beat the police. 5 people killed. Everything that Trump had said in that little speech where he said it was rigged, there were 200,000 votes that were just shipped into Georgia, all this stuff. Everything he said he'd raised with his Justice Department, Rosen, Donahue, and Engel, and they had politely refuted it all. They said, we've investigated that. That's just false. That's just false. We investigated that. He just repeated it again, and the people that he was talking to, by and large, were not lawyers. They were people from around the country who supported him. They took him at his word. But his word is no good, but they took him at his word. And they went up. 800 of them been arrested. 250 have been convicted. Some of them have gotten 3 or 4 years in prison. There's one of them, a guy named Mazza from the Midwest, Indiana or Ohio, was being charged. He could get 10 or 20 years. This is a guy who went up, took a baton away from an officer and beat another officer mercilessly, and then said at the time, when he was brought into court, you know what he said? Quote, it's a good thing that I didn't bump into Nancy Pelosi, or you'd have me in this court on a different charge. You'd have me in this court on a different charge, i.e. murder. You know, a guy like that, tell you what, he deserves to go to prison. So what Trump did by lying to these folks, now, yeah, there were Proud Boys and Boogaloos and Oath Keepers and all these sorts. And that's one thing. They were corrupted right from the start. But a lot of the rest of them, they believed what he said. They went up there. And a lot of them have criminal records. One of them was a West Virginia state legislator. He'd just been elected. And this is January 6th where he was caught. He had just been elected in November. Promising career. Now he has a criminal record and he had to resign. This is what happens. This is what happens. Okay, we're going on to another subject in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin. Gableman, Michael Gableman testified on yesterday, that this is to Judge Valerie Bailey Wren. Remember, Frank Remington and Valerie Bailey Wren are the two judges of parallel cases. This is to Judge Bailey Wren, that he routinely deleted records and he deactivated an email account, a personal email account, even after getting open records requests. When you destroy records, even after getting an open records request, that is a contempt of court. That's a violation of law. Unless you say and can prove that those records had nothing to do with the request. Like say they were about a haircut appointment. Okay. But here, the judge asked him, okay, did you research those documents to see if they were compliant with the open records request before you deleted them? And you know what his answer was? Quote, I believe so. Do I specifically recall going back? No, I don't. That's just sneaky lawyerese to say, I'm not going to lie, because if I say yes, and it's clearly a lie, I'll go to prison for perjury. If I say no, I didn't look at him, I'm in contempt. So I have to say, I don't know, or I don't recall. But how do you not know or not recall whether you were compliant with a request that was the subject of this lawsuit? And here's sneaky lawyerese, quote, I believe I did. Do I specifically recall doing it? No, I don't. You know, I think we should have laymen in court occasionally. There's nobody listening to this who does not say you don't have a law degree who'd fall for this, right? I mean, lawyers, guy goes, I believe I did it. Do I specifically recall doing it? No, I don't. That's the same as saying, I don't remember about something where he's clearly not telling the truth. He remembers whether or not he looked at these documents. Frank Remington, the other Dane County judge, had fined him $2,000 a day. $2,000 a day. And by the way, who do you think's paying for all this? I am. And so are you. Taxpayers are paying. It's now up to over $1 million. It was supposed to be 44 grand, remember, back in the fall? Then it was supposed to be 11 grand a month for him and 20 for his staff with a cap of 670. Remember that? Then it went up to 900. Remember that? Now it's over $1 million. There's no cap on it at taxpayer expense. So he can fight his way out of a contempt motion. The other judge, Frank Remington, had fined him $2,000 a day. He's now appealed that. Who do you think's paying for the appeal? You are. You're paying for the appeal. Appeal for making an off-color remark about a female lawyer on the other side and the judge. About, you know, him taking her into his chambers for dictation. You know, why am I paying for this? Why am I paying for this? The Republicans say Eva is trying to raise taxes. The Republicans are raising taxes. They're spending taxes. They're spending taxes. Here's another cherry on the sundae. This is unbelievable. They were talking, and he said, all right, when did you start doing it, and blah, blah, blah. What did you do the first 2 months? He said the first 2 months, he got paid, by the way, 11 grand a month. So that's 22 grand for 2 months. He did no work, but he got paid. Why did he do no work? He said, I don't own a computer. I don't have a lot of money. I have a phone, and he doesn't really know how to use his phone. He said, I went to the New Berlin Library. I heard they have a computer there. Now, you go to a library, are you going to do confidential work about an election survey out of the New Berlin Library? Are you kidding me? You ever been to New Berlin? Nice town. I wouldn't do it out of any library. No library at all. And then he said, quote, I did not have a very sophisticated or intricate understanding of elections. That's what he said. Quote, I did not have a very sophisticated or intricate understanding of elections. Why am I paying for them? Why am I paying my tax dollars for a guy who does not have a very sophisticated or intricate understanding of elections to investigate elections, where he has no money to buy a computer? So for two, he had 11 grand a month. You can buy a computer for what, $1,000, $2,000? I mean, $500? He didn't use the money to buy a computer. He sat in the New Berlin Library chewing his cud, is what he did, and drinking coffee. That's what he did. Insulted the judge, opposing counsel, is now appealing the case at your expense, at taxpayer expense. Enough's enough. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll take a call, do an issue, take another call. Gary of Madison, you're first, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind at Gary of Madison?
Morning, man. Hey, I heard 90% of that yesterday here. Hey, what I got out of it, though, is that the Justice Department, the guy said they did not investigate state elections. So the Garland's not, these suppression laws are going through. I don't think Garland's going to do anything with them either. So I guess that means we need a National Voting Rights Act to go through. Of course, Republicans aren't going to go for that. So, but that's pretty much what I got out of that yesterday. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Yeah, that's partially the case, but not entirely. Absolutely, if there is a violation of federal law or the Constitution, they absolutely can investigate whatever is presented to them, whatever they want. So let me give you an example. Let's suppose that there's a dispute in a state over something having to do with state law and elections that doesn't implicate federal law or the Constitution. No, the Justice Department isn't going to go in on that. But in cases where in minority areas, they have only insufficient machines that break down on purpose, and people are harassed at the polls. Those are issues that look state, but absolutely the government can investigate that. But here it goes beyond that. They did investigate. For instance, in Antrim County, Michigan, there was an allegation by conspiracy people that 68% of the machines were inaccurate. They did go and investigate that. They did it through the Department of Homeland Security and the Justice Department. This is a presidential election. Absolutely, you can go investigate that. And they found that that was baloney. There was not 68% of all the votes. There was one vote out of many thousands that had been miscounted. So that's an example. Another example was somebody said, "Oh, there was a truck full of shredded ballots in Georgia." Okay, so they went and investigated that. That was bull. Somebody just flat out lied about it. They said that there was a satellite in Italy that changed votes. They investigated that. That was baloney. That was baloney. In Wisconsin, all they could come up with was they said, well, there were a lot of drop boxes that had been tampered with. That's false. I'm saying that on this air. That's false. And there's nobody who's going to respond to that and prove me wrong. That is flat out false. This state is one of the most honest ones in the country. So when the Rosen said, we don't just go around investigating state elections. Sure. Right. Okay. That's why you have states. But they absolutely did investigate every allegation of tampering. Remember, there are 60 cases or more judges brought by the Trump people that they lost, including cases that were overseen by Trump judges, including Trump judge cases. So if you looked at that hearing yesterday, you saw Donald Trump relentlessly, after he lost the election, working on Barr, then working on Rosen, then finding Clark, who is compliant, to sign a letter drafted by Eastman and Giuliani to legislators in six states. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. It only has to be in six states. To falsely say there was fraud in the election, change the electors. And this would be on the Justice Department stationery with some of the most, that's a department that's had some of the most distinguished people in American history who had served as attorney general. It has a lot of weight. Barr said no, not because he's honest. He's crooked as a dog's hind leg. He did it because he chickened out. Rosen wouldn't do it. Donahue wouldn't do it. Engel wouldn't do it. Jeffrey Clark said he would do it. Jeffrey Clark said he would do it. And they called him acting attorney general until that meeting in the White House on January 3rd. Sidney Powell would do it. He was his next choice. And I think, and I'm telling you, and I may be the only guy who thinks this, it wasn't the fact that everybody in the Justice Department would resign. Everybody, all of the leadership. You know what it was? Engel said, Trump said, what do I have to lose? What do I have to lose? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And Engel said, let me tell you what you have to lose. You put Clark here, who's totally unqualified. They said it to his face. Totally unqualified. And he's your third attorney general in 2 weeks. You get an environmental guy who sends a fake letter. That undercuts any credibility at all. You're going to look like a joke. He is a joke. You can hurt yourself very badly. And you know what, Trump? He's a crafty guy. He's a bottom feeder, too. He goes in his mind, well, yeah, that's true. I won't do that, but I got the insurrection coming up. Remember, this is January 3rd. That meeting, the insurrection was that Wednesday, 3 days later. I can declare martial law, maybe. Maybe Pence will say that these electors are no good. I've got a couple of tricks up my sleeve. He's sitting playing Texas Hold'em. I don't know if you like playing poker. I like playing poker. He's sitting with a bad hand, but there are a couple of more cards to turn over. And he's not willing to go all in right now over something stupid. That's all that happened. That's all that happened. And Pence is no saint. He's crooked as a dog's hind leg. Pence is already touting Trump again. Even though Trump said maybe Pence should be hanged. They're all going to hang Mike Pence. They constructed that gallows. They had internet messages, texts, tweets about how to do a gallows. What kind of lumber, pre-cut. They're going to hang him. They were going to beat Nancy Pelosi to death. A 95-pound, 82-year-old woman, they're going to beat her to death. Bunch of thugs is what was going to happen. So Pence is no saint. But Pence chickened out, too. He was thinking of doing it. He called Dan Quayle. Quayle, what do you think? And Quayle, to his credit, I was never a big fan of Quayle. Quayle goes, are you out of your mind? Don't go near that. So he chickened out. That's what happened. Then they urged Trump to declare martial law because of the mob and stay in power. You do that in Africa. You do that in Asia. You do that in Russia, China, and some countries in South America. You do not do that in the United States of America. You do not do that in the United States of America, period. Period. End of story. All right, going back to the lines. Mark of Sussex, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Mark of Sussex?
I appreciate you taking my call. But what I will say is the desperation on the Democratic Party is just pathetic, because for the last 6 years, this is even prior to Trump winning the election, all you could do, and this station has done the same thing every single day for the last 5-6 years, and it's the same 13, 11 callers that call in every day.
This is the first time you've called, and I put you on the air, Mark. This is the first time you've called. I put you on the air. If a liberal called in to right-wing radio, they'd throw him in the river.
And I appreciate it, as I said. But my point is, you've been trying to find something on Trump for 6 years. Let's go back to the whole Russia BS, which was set up by the Democrats, all the lying that was done during that. But you never comment on that. And again, it all goes back,
Mark,
to
he said he trusted Putin and he doesn't trust the CIA and the FBI. That's treason. Ron Johnson did the same thing. A president has to trust the FBI and the CIA. He can't trust the KGB and Putin. Trump is servile to Putin because he's been funded by the oligarchs. His own son said that. He met with the Ruskies in the White House with no Americans around. He confiscates his translator's notes. And in Helsinki, they had that terrible thing where they go, do you trust the CIA and the FBI? They say Putin here hacked into the election. He goes, well, no, I don't trust them. I trust Putin. That is treason. That is treason. That's not just me. That is the facts. Okay, we're going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. Back after the break.